to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, it didn't break Portland State's way on Saturday. Washington State, 70, Portland State, 30. If you would have told me Portland State was getting 30 points, I probably would have thought, you know, they're going to be all right. Portland State will turn around this week, and they will play at Weber State on Saturday. Bruce Barnum joins us every week on this program, coach at Portland State. How are you, man?
Hey, John, thanks for having us. Doing all right. Doing all right. Well, thank you for week two. Yeah.
You got 30.
Yeah, we productive and still real sloppy, you know, on offense. Clean it up a little bit. Who knows what we'll be able to do. The offense, we got some weapons over there, and they showed up. So, just sloppy. We're a little sloppy.
Did you see that coming? I mean, or did you feel like you were pretty buttoned down in practice and in scrimmages, and it surprised you?
They ran by our defense. We need to adjust, obviously, a little quicker than we did. But they're a fast team. I was wondering how fast we are. You know, I got a couple new guys that moved one, Shakir, out the corner and transfer at the other corner. And, you know, we learned maybe, you know, let's back them up a little bit, maybe mix in some zone. Good tape, good learning. Simplify a little bit, shore up the defense, and, you know, see what we got. I'm curious about week two because, you know, we've talked before. Week two, I think you see whoever follows what football team. I think that's a team you're going to have for the rest of the season.
You hear coaches will say that. They'll say biggest adjustment is week one to week two. But you're in those shoes, so to speak, watching that film. And is it just as simple as, you know, why does that happen? Why do you get that adjustment from one to two that maybe isn't as big 2 to 3?
A lot of new people. I mean, I have 42 new people on this football team, and kind of seeing who fits where, who plays best where, because, you know, that's really the biggest chess match, I think, one of them in college football, is putting the right people in the right spot, you know. That schematics, are we simple enough? Are we too simple? You know, you learn a lot week one and week two. You kind of settle in what you're going to do, who you are, put them in the right spot, and roll.
Weber State played Washington, lost 35-3 for our listeners. When you look at that tape, what do you see at Weber State?
They've always been strong on defense. They're a cover one team, man coverage, or the safety in the middle of the field against Washington. They went a little more cover three, probably because the speed of University of Washington. But they played well, you know. Washington got some called back from penalties. It might have been a little more, but, you know, I think what Coach Fish, and they're different up there. They're a different offense. I think you're going to see the same thing. The kids of Washington has applied that now, those new systems, and they're going to be better. And Weber State will be the same way, you know. But Weber's always been tough defenses in the Big Sky Conference. Those are the ones that go to the playoffs.
You know, your conference, I thought, has had some nice moments. And now you're getting a conference game. Do you prefer to have maybe another game before you get into conference play, or are you okay the way the schedule unfolded?
I don't mind, because they moved our Weber game. They moved it when I had to play Boise. We had to move, and they dropped San Diego State from me, and there was all kinds of movement going on. I was just kind of sitting there, you know, watching video kill the radio star screen while all these people are moving these pieces. And there you go. But that means you'll have Weber game week two. Is that all right? I said, sure. You know, it's going to affect them just like it'll affect us. So I figured, you know, playing earlier game, you're going to be healthier. You know, I thought that would be a positive. But who knows? You know, they're in the same boat we are, so I'm not really worried about that.
All right. Health-wise, how'd you come out of the Washington State game?
Four MRIs and a CAT scan, but so far, three have come back ready to go. One will be out for 3 weeks, and the other one I haven't heard yet. I'm waiting because it's a specific part of the body that our doctor can't look at the MRI, you know, and tell you what's going on. So I got to wait for some specialist who happened to be out for Labor Day camping. So when they get back, we'll check him out.
It's a short week for the rest of us, but can you give us an idea when you play a Saturday game? What is your Sunday like? It's a normal week for you. It's not like you spend Labor Day barbecuing.
No, I mean it's a day that nobody's in the office, you know. So there's no my office isn't a bus stop. But hey, you know, well, what do you want to do with these? Where do we put these? What do you want to do this game? How are we going to travel? It's all football. But Sunday, you have to give them a day off. Some guys are Sunday. Some guys are Monday. We are Monday. Sunday, I give them time to go to church in the morning, if that's what they choose to do. You know, we both know heaven doesn't wait for only those who congregate, but a lot of my guys do, and they go to church, and we come in, and we film and lift them quick and get them out. And that gives my staff all day Monday to game plan, gives my student-athletes. That's the day we have them do their labs. You know, that's our longer day of school. Give them one normal day during the week of being a student. So then Tuesday, Wednesday, hard practice, Thursday, polish. Friday, everybody's up in the air on Friday. You know, we're a travel team, walk through. A lot of guys are practicing on Friday. I've heard that. That's the latest. Some of my coaches tried to talk me into it this year. Some guys have gone to practice and a heavy practice on Friday, the day before the game.
Wow.
We don't. We thought about it, you know. And then Saturday, obviously, you got a game, and you start the same thing for 14 weeks. I mean, it's a repetition. Mondays are fun as hell, you know, because you're putting a game plan together, and you put it in. Tuesday's kind of redo, you know, day, showing it to them, showing them their opponent, and, you know, reload, reload, reload. I must have heard that 15 times today. But then Wednesday, and some guys break it up. Tuesday will be a heavy run day. You know, against opponent. Wednesday would be heavy pass day. Thursday, polish it all. Here's what we're going to do on third down red zone, you know, 2 minute, et cetera. And again, Friday is either at home or us. We're traveling a lot early. So get there and go. And then they move this to a night game. For us, we have to stay over Saturday night also. This game and Boise game cost me a little more money because I got to stay over another night.
Who in your conference do you think has the biggest home field advantage?
Montana. University of Montana. There's some nice stadiums. Montana State put a lot of money into theirs. Sacramento State put some into theirs. Idaho's unique. But more probably fan base, on you, noise, et cetera. Most of our listeners can probably compare it to noise at Autzen versus Corvallis, maybe, Reser, because they're right on top of you there. And they pack the house, you know. Your best time to score it. Those games, for us, is they're still out in the parking lot. You want the ball to start the third quarter because all the crowd's still out getting drunk, so it's quiet, you know. So we try to win that coin toss just so we can beat that crowd and score on that first drive and not have to worry about silent count.
Sacramento State is going to announce here in another few weeks that they're raising money for a big stadium project, stadium improvement. Your president has talked on this show about wanting to get a game back at Providence Park, back by your campus. I love that. If it's the right opponent, I think you can draw. How do you feel about potentially getting one near campus?
That's one of the first things I brought up with our president, Ann Cudd. Just give me one, I told her, you know, let's get back to Portland. I was hoping it was going to be this year, but I did find out it's not because of logistics, et cetera. But it'd be great to have one. It'd be great to have you know, half of them in there. It's a, right. It's a fun venue to get a crowd and get people in there, and my kids love it.
I am looking over, you know, just to look back another week. We had talked about Idaho playing Oregon, Idaho State playing Oregon State. I'm sure you paid attention to some of those games. I mean, from a physicality standpoint, Oregon State just pile drove Idaho State. They just decided, hey, we're going to run the ball on them, and that was that. The Idaho game, your buddy Jason Eck had Oregon a little nervous in the fourth quarter. Were you surprised by that?
He'll dial you up defensively. You know, probably a lot went into it, I would guess. First off, he's a guy like in 4 minutes, I have to adjust to when you're in the heavy, pound them, get a first down set, because they're smart with the run game. They, from shades up front to, you know, it's not slant and angle, it's maybe pinch this guy to take over that seven technique, you know, whatever you're doing in the run game, they're good at taking it away, you know, so. I put part of it on coaching. His staff's pretty good. I'm guessing. I might have set up the Mighty Ducks a little bit. You know, they play us and get a snowman. They're like, oh, another big sky team coming in. You know, yeah. I doubt the coaches did that, but I guarantee you, there's some people in that locker room that said, oh, here we go. There's a walkthrough.
You're darn right. I had Lanning on later that – I had him on last Thursday, and I said, what's your plan to kind of rotate guys in, meaning like when the game gets out of hand, how many guys can you get on the field? You know, like I was talking that way, and it was interesting. You know, Eck did something smart, too. You know, Oregon had a 4th-and-1, and Idaho stopped him on 4th-and-1. And the very next play, Eck ran a trick play, ran a little – flea flicker and scored a touchdown on it. I mean, it was such a change of momentum, an emotional moment, and bam, he came with a trick play right after.
Well, yeah, we call it sudden change. You know, you take a shot on sudden change, and I guarantee you Oregon's coaches on defense were screaming at the top of their lungs, sudden change, you know, telling everybody, look out for the trick play, let's be smart here, and I don't know what they ran, but I did hear that you scored on a trick play. So
yeah, it was a little double. You know, it's kind of a double pass. Like they gave the ball to a back, flipped it back to, you know, brought it back like it was reversed, then flipped it to the quarterback who hit the open, what guy wide open down the sideline for 7. And you know, it was just it was a great call at the right moment. You know.
Yeah, that's the ones where the crowd probably sounds like Animal House shout without even playing the song. I'm guessing
it was like that
out.
Well,
they won.
Yeah, but you've been in a position where you know you didn't play your best, you got a W. On one hand, you take any win you get, right? But when you don't play your best, is there a sourness that comes with a win that you go, gosh, we should have, you know, let's say you play Western or you play somebody you should beat pretty handily and you just barely, you know, you beat them by 7 or 10. You leave that feeling a little funny, don't you?
It depends how you channel it. Lanning's smarter than all of us. They'll channel it the right way. It'll wake up. If you do it the right way, it's going to wake up your football team. You know, maybe cross the T's and dot the I's a little bit more and don't underestimate anybody. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch on their schedule they're supposed to beat. Guys might be watching a little more film now, might be listening to coaches a little bit more when they say, hey, you know, this team's got a pretty good defense. It's, you know, who knows? But that's part of the game. I think it's all in the presentation. You know, you dumb son of a guns. You know, you guys are horseshit. Or, hey, let's take this and let's roll it. Let's wake up a little bit here. This is where we're going. We're 1-0, right where we wanted to be. And, you know, we take it from there.
Bruce Barnum. Go beat Weber State.
Yep, on it.
All right. We'll talk next week. Good luck to you, man.
Thanks, bud.
All right. There he goes, Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach. You know what I felt at the beginning of that interview, Stephen? I felt like Bruce Burnham is focused on football. He really knows he needs to win this week. He wasn't quite in the same jovial mood that he is in other weeks, but he really, his mood changed when we started talking about Idaho and other schools, and then he loosened up a little bit. Felt like he was a little bit in a little bit of focus mode for Bruce Burnham. You know, normally he's much more off the cuff and kind of a little silly. He got there, but I think at the beginning of the interview, he was a little, you know, he's been focused. I think they are bearing down right now at Portland State. All right, some parting thoughts coming up.